Good morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. I was just sitting there thinking, it's sad how, I don't know if this speaks for you, but it speaks for me, how I come here and I feel tired and in my flesh I just don't feel like doing this. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord, but I just feel exhausted and over it, you know, the week and everything that's happened. And I'm glad we sang that song we just did, Oh How Merciful. I couldn't help but think, when we sing that in Kingsport, Gabe sings it like this, Oh How Merciful. You know, we take the I, it's a merciful. I love the way he's merciful. And that got me excited to preach. I'm still tired, but that's okay. You might be too. But I pray that we might see just how merciful our God is today. So look here with me in Jonah chapter 1. Verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Here in Jonah chapter 1, we read about this man Jonah. He was a child of God. He was a prophet of God. The word of the Lord, you see, came to him. The word of the Lord doesn't just come to people. It comes to someone when God sends it to someone. And he sent his word to Jonah. And specifically here, he sent a command to his prophet to take the glorious gospel that God had given him, committed to his trust, and he commanded him to go preach that gospel to the men and women of Nineveh. He called it a great city, a wicked city. Their wickedness was come up before him. Now, that was God's command to Jonah. And we see, and we probably already know, Jonah had other plans. Jonah had other ideas, didn't he? And I didn't feel like I had time to prepare this, but I really wanted to preach from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. I want to show you, if you'll turn with me just a second, back a few books. Proverbs chapter 3. There are two verses in that chapter that most of us probably know well about. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, He'll direct your paths. But look at verse 7, the verse right after that. Proverbs 3, verse 7. This verse has been on my heart. And I thought it tied in well here with Jonah. Proverbs 3, verse 7. It says, Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. God's word, God's command came to his child. Remember, Jonah's a believer. He was a prophet of God. God's word came to him and said, You go preach the gospel to Nineveh. Jonah, what he did, he was wise in his own eyes. And he thought, well, no, I should go to Tarshish. It would be better for me to not do what God said. I'm going to be wise here. I'm going to go to Tarshish. And so off he went. We read that he went down to Joppa. He bought a ticket, paid a price, and he joined himself to this ship going the opposite way that God commanded him to go. All right. And what makes me tremble is that it says that he was trying to flee the presence of the Lord. And I really want to stress, I believe with all my heart, Jonah was a believer. He was a child of God. And you think, well, how foolish, Jonah. Well, what the verse we just read in Proverbs, don't we understand? That's for believers. All the time I find myself being wise in my own eyes, in my own conceits. You ever heard of the term self-conceited? Can we ever acknowledge that that's what we are? More often than not? Honestly. So I don't want to look at this judging our brother Jonah harshly. I want us to learn from him. God put this in his word for us, for our good, for our benefit. But I want us to see what happened here. I want us to take it seriously. And I pray God would teach us something here. Okay? So Jonah flees. Now look here in verse 4. But the Lord. I love that. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Now, do you think when Jonah did what he did, when he made that bold, arrogant choice that he made, do you think he really thought, and I think the problem is he didn't really think about it at all, he just did it, which is what we do. But do you think Jonah reckoned he'd get away with that? Obviously, we know he's not going to. Again, last time I was here, I think we looked at the fool has said in his heart, "No God," and we saw we're all the fool. Right? That's the point. In this flesh, even as believers, we're still so foolish. Anytime we're not looking to the Lord, trusting in the Lord with all our heart, anytime we trust in ourselves just a little bit, this is the result. All right? Jonah does what he does, and then, but the Lord sent out a storm, a mighty wind into the sea. He sent that right to where Jonah was. Right to where Jonah was. And there's a verse in Nahum, I think we looked at this before, but it says, "The Lord hath His way." And I love that. It says, "The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet." You see, every storm, including this one that we're reading about, is God's storm. He sends it. He's controlling it. They scare us often, don't they? Remember, it's His storm. It's His storm. And just like Jonah, we need the storms that come our way. We need every single one of them. I ain't talking about the rain and thunder and the lightning. I'm talking about the storms of life, the trials that come our way. Now, you can already see Jonah got himself into this mess. And he's going to be brought to the point of acknowledging, "I brought this upon myself." And I pray God will bring us all to that point. But God sent this storm for His prophet's correction. But I rejoice to tell you He had a greater purpose in it than that. And I don't want to ruin it, but we'll see it here in a minute. Now, this storm, we've only read about Jonah so far, and Nineveh, which he didn't go there just yet. But anyway, there's some other men on this boat. Jonah joined himself to a boat, okay? There were some other men on this boat, and this storm isn't just affecting Jonah. And these people are going to play a large role in our message this morning. Look here with me at verse 5. It says, "Then the mariners," or sailors, "were afraid. And they cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares," or the equipment, the items that were in the ship, "into the sea to lighten it of them." These sailors, you think about it, I have very little experience on a boat. Well, you may as well just say no experience on a boat. Some of y'all do, and that's good. But these sailors, you think about how many storms and turbulent waves a sailor has experienced. This storm, these sailors had never seen the likes of it. They had never seen anything like it. They were scared out of their minds. They were terrified. Terrified. You would think an experienced sailor, they'd be pretty calm. They would know what they're doing. They'd keep a level head. Well, not with these sailors. No, they expected that ship to break. When it says it was like to be broken, they thought it was going down any moment. All right? Terrible storm that they were experiencing. So what do? Well, look at it. In verse 5, it tells us they began to cry. Every man, every single one of them, began crying out unto his God. And notice it, little g. They all started crying out to their gods. We read in Isaiah 45 that some men, and this is all men and women by nature, pray unto a little g God that cannot save. And here's the proof that their God couldn't save. What'd they do right after they start crying unto their gods? It says they start tossing everything off the boat. Well, we're going to have to help our God out. Yeah, you are, because your God can't do nothing. There's some good spiritual pictures in this little book of Jonah. And right here in chapter 1, here we see the first one. We got to help our gods out. They all had a different God. Is that not obvious to see the error there? They weren't worshiping and praying unto the true God of heaven and earth. They were kind of this God and that God and every God they could find, and yet none of them could do anything to help them. None of them could do one. They had no hands but theirs. Well, no wonder they couldn't help. Couldn't do a thing. Their hope was in their false gods and in themselves. We just mentioned that trust in the Lord with all your heart. All our trust, all our hope must be in Him and Him alone. Now, while these sailors are out here losing their minds, having a panic attack, if you will, where's Jonah? Y'all know where Jonah was at? Y'all know what Jonah was doing? Look at the end of verse 5. But Jonah, the believer, the child of God, he was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Now you can say, oh well, that's a picture of the Lord. Storm's raging, Jonah's sleeping in the boat. Remember the disciples, they were scared when the storm came. Lord was asleep, and then out of unbelief, they went, woke him up, and he, oh yeah, little thing. That may be a picture here, but what I see here is, it does not put Jonah in a good light. What I see here is a careless child of God who has disobeyed his master and gone off and done something terrible. And here he is, he doesn't even know what's going on, ignorant, careless of what he'd done, sleeping, just laying there in his sin and his shame. You just think real quick, what if God left him there? Here this storm is raging, this boat is about to sink. These men with any sense are terrified. And remember, they weren't even believers. And they're scared to death. They're praying. At least they're praying. Jonah's just down here sleeping. Jonah needed to wake up. Let me rephrase that. Jonah needed to be woken up. We don't wake ourselves up. We're living our life. We're sinning against God. And we just don't care. Even as believers, how often is that true? We're just going to do what we want to do. We just don't care. We're so cold. We're so fickle. We're so frail. So sinful. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, not that I used to be. Not when I was Saul of Tarsus. Right now, I need to be delivered. Jonah needed to be woken up. Psalm 13, verse 3 says, O Lord my God, lighten mine eyes. It means wake me up, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I pray God don't leave us to ourselves. Because if He does, and that's what we deserve, is to be left alone. We want what we want, don't we? We don't want God. If we want God to give us what we want by nature. And if He does, we're going to sleep the sleep of death. Every single one of us. Including Jonah. Now look here at verse 6. Here we see God's goodness to Jonah. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, this is the captain of this ship. He came to Jonah and he said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be, that God will think upon us that we perish not. God used the captain of this ship. And we have no reason to believe this captain was any different than any of those other sailors on that boat, crying to their gods, doing whatever they could to try to save themselves. And yet God used him to come wake his prophet up, to come speak to his prophet. I love that. Now, he comes to Jonah. He said, what in the world? Get up. You call out to your God. We're all crying out to our gods and they ain't done a thing. You cry out to your God. Maybe your God can do something about this. Maybe your God can help us. Now, what do you think, Jonah, what do you think he felt in that moment? Honestly. Now, I know we looked at Jonah 3 and Jonah 4 previously, if you remember, or if you're familiar with it. And Jonah goes on and he just does it again. He's just sinning again. And faithless again. But right here, what do you imagine his reaction was when that captain comes and wakes him up? You imagine he felt a little bit convicted? You imagine he saw what was going on and he thought, what in the world have I done? I can't imagine a different reaction that he could have had. Can't imagine. Now, when God woke him, he used that man to do it, but God woke him up. Jonah knew without a doubt, this is my fault. I brought this upon me and upon all these sailors. I did it. God in His goodness woke him up. And I also have no doubt that in this moment, Jonah found himself praying unto his God. And you know what? Not only that, Jonah knew his God is able to do something about this. The Lord my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I could ever ask or think. Jonah knew that. He was a believer, a child of God, a prophet of God. Now look here at verse 7. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. We already see these sailors, they were religious men. Now you think a sailor, right? Well, I mean, we all know that, you curse like a sailor, right? You don't think of them as being the religious men. I'm telling you, God's Word makes it clear, all of us, when it comes down to it, when a moment of fear really hits us, we all cling to something in here. We don't cling to God. We cling to ourselves. We cling to the gods of our own imagination. We cling to ourselves. We don't cling to Him. But these men had some religion, and they were convinced that this storm, it's so terrible, it's so mighty, this has to be some sort of act of divine judgment. And we need to get to the bottom of this. We need to find out who the problem is so we can get rid of it. That's what they thought. All right. Now, let me point this out. We don't read of them feeling any guilt of their own. You think these men were sinners too? We see Jonah. Jonah's the whole reason for this mess. But were they sinners too? You better believe they were. Now, look at the end of verse 7. Here they are. They cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Now, I've read about this, and I'll be honest with you, I really don't understand it a whole lot. But there's a verse in Proverbs, I think I wrote it down, Proverbs 16:33. It says, the lot is cast into the lap. You know, you roll some dice. But the whole disposing thereof, well, what's it going to be? The whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Wasn't no accident. Wasn't by chance that the lot fell on Jonah. God meant for them to know, this is because of Jonah. Now, we're getting to the good part here, okay? I'll go ahead and spoil it for you. You may already know, but Jonah disobeyed God. Okay, we see it clearly. There's some men on this boat. They weren't just random men, okay? God's going to use Jonah to declare the truth to these men. Now, think about this. What if God were to use this whole situation and ended up using his peevish prophet, as they say, to save these sailors? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that just show the goodness and mercy of our God? Think about that. Now, look here at verse 8. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? They had some questions for Jonah. When it became clear to them that he was the problem, wouldn't you have had some questions for him too? What on earth did you do? And I'm telling you, we can't even begin to imagine just how awful that storm was. I know there's been some horrible hurricanes and tornadoes and natural disasters, as we say. And they're all of God. Remember that. This world ain't seen nothing like it. And here they are. They got some questions for Jonah. They start interrogating. Who are you? Where are you from? What's your job? What are you doing here? How'd you get on our boat? That's a good question. I'll tell you this. They were convinced. Whoever you are something bad. You have got to be a notorious sinner. And you know what? They were right. Whatever they thought about him, they were right. Oh, they were right. Now remember, we don't read that they knew anything about their own sin. If they did, they'd have known God would have been just to send that storm because of any one of them, and collectively as a whole. But now Jonah's been found out, and he's going to admit who and what he is and what he's done. And brethren, I mentioned in there, go, if you and I are going to be saved, this storm is a picture of God's judgment, God's wrath against sin. It awaits us. We've sinned against God. It awaits us. When we die, it's the point a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. We're going to all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I pray that in this life, at some point in this life, before we go stand before God in that day, and we're going to, everybody, our sister Jo, one by one, it just keeps coming. One of my coworkers, her dad died a couple days. It's just, We're confronted with death constantly. We need to acknowledge it. I pray that before that time comes, that God will convict us of what we are. We see Jonah here. I hope we're not looking down at him. We can look at him and think, boy, Jonah, man, you... Whew. But then I pray we look at ourselves and take a good hard look and say, I'm no better. I'd have done the same thing or worse. Yeah, worse. We need to acknowledge what we are, not only before each other. In fact, I mean, it does us some, you know, humility amongst one another is good. It'll benefit us, I promise. But we need to acknowledge what we are before God. Who did Jonah sin against? Well, Jonah brought this trouble upon these men. Yeah, he did. That's not the problem, though. Jonah sinned against God. That's the problem. Do we understand we've sinned against God? And we can't atone for our sin again. We can't do anything to save ourselves. Can't do it. Alright, look here in verse 9. We see Jonah's answer. And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Jonah told them who he was. He told him, I could honestly just see them laughing if this is how, I don't know the order in which he said it, because then it goes on to tell us he told them that what he did. But you imagine if the first words out of his mouth was, well, I'm a child of God. I'm a prophet of God. You imagine the laughter they must have given him. But I suspect Jonah answered them in humility. I suspect Jonah told them, listen, this is my fault. I sinned against God. I know you're not going to believe this, but I'm a prophet of God. And I did something I shouldn't have done. I disobeyed my Lord. He said, go to Nineveh, and I came here, and I brought this trouble upon myself and all of you. And I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it, but by God's grace, I fear the Lord. Let me tell you about the Lord. Jonah used this occasion. I say Jonah, God used this occasion to tell these men who God was. He said, the Lord of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land that you're trying to get to, said, let me tell you about Him. Do you reckon that was the case? We're going to see that was the case. I don't like to say I'm going to prove it to you, but God's going to prove it to us. He's going to show us what happened here. Okay? Jonah told these men who he was. God acknowledged who we are, and it's not a good thing. We're not proud of it. But we also turn right around and say, let me tell you who God is. Let me tell you how holy He is. Let me tell you how just and right He and sovereign He is. Now, rightly, those men turned around, and in verse 10, you imagine how exceedingly afraid they must have been. And again, the only question they would have upon hearing that would be, why hast thou done this? Why in the world did you do that? If you fear the Lord, if you know how holy He is, why would you disobey Him? Let's ask ourselves that. Why do we do what we do? Anybody have an answer for that? Don't answer. Man, that's a question, ain't it? Why am I the way that I am? Why? It's like, was it Rebecca? Why am I thus? If we're a believer, that's a question we feel, whether we think about it or not. We feel it all the time, don't we? I pray we do. Why would we sin against such a God? Why did I not just go to Nineveh? It'd have saved us all a lot of trouble, wouldn't it? At this point, these men, I believe these men were mad at Jonah. Wouldn't you be? Why'd you have to bring your trouble to us? Why'd you have to get on our ship? There's a bunch of ships down there in Joppa. Why'd you have to get on this one? Now, I'm also convinced, if he hadn't yet, that at this point, Jonah turns to them and he says, listen, you guys are some filthy sailors. You're no better than me. He didn't just tell them who he was and who God is. No doubt he told them who they were. And what does a prophet, what does a preacher of God do? He declares man to be what he is before God, nothing but sin. We wouldn't be right not to declare what man is before God. I'm telling you, God's going to use Jonah here as his prophet to declare the gospel to them. And he's going to bless it according to His will, however He's pleased to bless it. All right. Now, these men, we just read, they were crying out to their false gods. They were trying to save themselves. And look right here in verse 11. They said unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous." Now, at this point, I still don't know. I don't know their hearts. We don't know. But we're about to read what happened. I don't know how they felt. I know there's been some anger. It only makes sense. But this storm's getting worse and worse. Something has to be done. Something's going to happen or we're all going to perish. It's obvious. It was obvious to everybody on that boat. Now, like I said, Jonah told them the reason for this storm is sin. The reason God is going to judge us is because of sin. God hates sin. He's too holy. He's too pure to behold sin. That's the reason for the storm. That's the reason for judgment. That's the reason for hell and damnation. All right? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God must do right. He must punish wrong. He must judge sin. All right? Now look here in verse 12. "And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you." Now look what he said here. "For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Jonah knew they were all sinners, but he knew specifically God sent this storm because of me. It's because of me. Now, right here, God gave Jonah the faith to know what had to be done. And here's the point of the message. Here's the title of the message: Jonah, a picture of Christ. Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, and so shall the sea be calm to you. That's the gospel. That's Christ. Now, when Jonah said this again, Jonah was he was a man just like you and me. You imagine how scared he must have been to say that to them? Just because he was a child of God and a prophet of God didn't mean he was free of fear. Free of earthly fear and things that we feel. I can just picture him trembling. I mean, literally shaking as he says this. "You throw me out of that storm? Are you kidding me?" What faith God gave him in that moment. Amazing. And on saying that, remember, faith is the gift of God. Well, Jonah, he buckled down. He became faithful only by God's grace. Brother prayed for the Lord to allow me to boldly declare, "I can't, but He can. I'm not able to, but He is." Faith is of God. From start to finish. It's all of, we don't muster faith. Faith is of God, and God gave it to Jonah. And right then and there, Jonah tells them about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall come on His own, on purpose, be lifted up on purpose, on a cross, be cast forth into the sea of hell to save sinners like you and me. Isn't that what it is to declare the gospel? Who Christ is? He's God. He's coming on purpose to save His people whom He chose, to save them from their sin. And He's going to save them by Himself. He's going to do it all. And not a single one for whom He's doing this deserves it. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But let me tell you about what He's going to come and do. Praise the Lord. Now look here at verse 13. "Nevertheless..." Now remember, the men had just heard the gospel preached, okay? "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them." They heard the gospel message and they thought, surely there's got to be another way. Surely you don't have to do this. Surely no one has to die here. Surely we can appease the wrath of God without the shedding of blood. Not so. A sacrifice for sin must be made. Without the shedding of blood, there's not going to be any remission of sin. We have to have a Savior put away sin. We have to have a substitute to die and satisfy God's holy justice, to satisfy God's holy law. I love how it tells us here, they heard the gospel message, and then, oh, they just kept trying. Isn't that what we do? We hear the gospel message, and we, oh, well, I'm going to try to do this on my own. But I'm so thankful it tells us plainly, but they could not. With men, this is impossible. The best of men are men at best. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Less than vanity. Nothing. We cannot save ourselves. I wish everybody in this world could hear that and have faith to believe that. We can't save ourselves. I can't do anything to appease God. Nothing. No, they could not. They were totally helpless. Utterly helpless. Without strength. Well, without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Those who had no strength. He died for sinners. These men, they found themselves right here at the mercy of God. And that's a wonderful place to be. When we come to the place, when we fall on our face, Lord, save me or I perish. That's where we must find ourselves. I pray God would put us there. Now look here, verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto thee, Lord. Isn't that something? You remember who they was crying to just a minute ago, don't you? This God and that God and that God. I don't know why I pointed up. They cried all these little gods. They heard the gospel preached. How shall they believe on whom? On whom they have not heard? How shall we hear without a preacher? Jonah was God's prophet. He came with God's message. He came declaring God's gospel. And now they're crying unto the Lord. You see a difference there? I hope everybody in this room, myself included, sees a difference here. Something happened. What? How did they just find themselves calling upon the Lord, the same Lord, Jehovah? Because it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He begat them with the word of truth. Amazing. Amazing. You see, Jonah disobeyed God. God said, you go to Nineveh. You go preach the gospel to Nineveh. And in chapter 3, you know what? Jonah goes to Nineveh and God saves Nineveh. And then Jonah gets mad and then the Lord reminds him, Jonah, shouldn't I have mercy on them? I have mercy on you. God overruled His prophet's evil for good. Oh, can you see the good in this? Oh, blesses my heart. Those sailors, you know, moments ago they were mad at this man for joining himself to their ship. Why did you have to get on our ship? Now they love him. You ever, I don't know what your all's experience was. I grew up under the gospel and I'll just be honest with you. I hated it. I didn't like what I heard. Now, sure, I liked hearing God's in control and God's will comes to pass, but I didn't like hearing that I'm not good. I didn't like hearing I'm a fool and God's right to send me to hell. Who likes hearing that? I tell you, who likes hearing that? The sinner whom God has chosen to rejoice at hearing that. Saul of Tarsus, he didn't rejoice in hearing that. But when the Lord saved him, when He knocked him down in the dirt, blinded him, and said, He's a chosen vessel unto me, I'm going to show Him what great things He must suffer for my sake. I'm going to show Him what great things I've done for Him. This is Jesus whom thou persecutest. I chose you. Lord, what would you have me to do? God saved these men. He overruled Jonah's evil. He overruled their evil, their sin, their wickedness, and saved them freely by His grace. And here in verse 14, we'll read it with me. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, we're begging you, Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, lay not upon us innocent blood. Now look at this. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Now, they probably wanted to throw Jonah off the boat at first before they heard him declare the gospel to him and God gave him faith to believe it. And then Jonah faithfully says, well, this is the only way. I do indeed need to be thrown off this boat. But at this point, God has saved them. They don't want to throw him off the boat. Like I said, God used him to preach the gospel to them. They love him. You love the man that preaches the gospel to you, don't you? You may have hated him before, but you love him now. You may not get along with him all the time, but you love him. You reconcile your differences because you share the truth. You share Christ. You see their reluctancy here? They thought, okay, if we throw him off the boat like he's saying, Lord, don't let us perish too. You know, if we do this, we're doing this by faith because we're believing that this is of you. But they, at the same time, they say, well, can we really throw him? This is your child. This is our brother. This is your prophet. Can we really throw him off the boat? If we do, it is by faith. Please don't lay upon us innocent blood. Don't send us to hell for doing this to him. They wanted to make sure this was of God. And I love that. They didn't just flippantly throw him off the boat, though they probably wanted to at first. They were seeking the Lord in this. I emphasize the end of verse 14. They said, thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. An unbeliever don't say that. God does. He's in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath been pleased to do. In the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. He does what he will all the time. And that's their prayer. Now look at verse 15. They sought the Lord in this. They trust this is his will. Verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. Like I said, it wasn't an act of anger. This was an act of faith. They took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. I can just picture the moment Jonah hits that water. Perfect peace and rest. The storm ceased. When Christ died for our sin. You remember, he told that thief on, I believe, his right side. He told that thief, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. The moment Christ bowed his head and gave up the ghost, God's wrath against sin was fulfilled. The price had been paid in full by one man, by one man's offering. He perfected forever all his people, all them that are sanctified, set apart, chosen, made holy in him. And verse 16 says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. They were astonished. Wouldn't you be? We can't, you know, everybody's amazed at the fact that, oh, well, Jonah was swallowed by a fish, right? I'm telling you, there's so much to be amazed at in this passage. By faith, they throw this man, this prophet of God, into the sea, and the sea stops from its raging. God was appeased. You imagine the fear that overcame, the reverence, the worship that overcame them. It says they offered a sacrifice. They made vows. They thanked the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for not just saving me from the storm. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for saving me from the hell against sin that I deserve. They knew they didn't deserve that goodness. God's goodness. They knew they didn't deserve it. Do we know we don't deserve God's goodness? God, who is full of mercy, do we know we don't deserve it? We don't deserve it. Right now, I do not deserve God's mercy. I don't deserve His goodness. Not at all. I do not. But by God's grace, like these men, I can vow, Lord, I am resolved to worship You and You alone. I'm resolved to praise You and You alone as long as I shall live. Now, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now look at verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah didn't die in that storm. He's a picture of Christ. Christ died. Jonah is a picture of Christ. God was merciful to the sailors, and He was merciful to Jonah. Aren't you glad? Jonah sinned against God. God sends a storm to correct His prophet, and yet God used all of that to save these sailors, these men, from their sin. And then God also is merciful to Jonah in the process. Now, like I said, Jonah didn't deserve it. The sailors didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Aren't you thankful to know God overrules evil for good? But not only that, aren't you thankful that God overrules our evil for our good? I'm so glad He does. So thankful He does. Verse 17 again. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I truly hope that we've seen ourselves in Jonah. Not as the wonderful child of God, prophet of God, no, as the sinner. As the rebellious, wicked, hell-deserving sinner. I pray we see ourselves in Him. But infinitely more than that, I pray we see Jonah as a picture, as a type of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was lifted up on purpose and cast forth into the lowest hell to save a wretch like me. Now, I want to show you this in closing. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. I love when the New Testament confirms the pictures that we see in the Old Testament. It doesn't confirm all of them, but it confirms a lot of them. Well, here in Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 38 with me. Matthew 12:38 says, "Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees," these are the religious, "they answered and said, Master, we would see a sign from thee," talking to our Lord, "but He answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah." What was the sign of the prophet Jonah? Look at the next verse, verse 40. "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." The whole reason Jonah did what he did, not to picture Christ. He didn't have any idea what God was going to do. Jonah just disobeyed God. And yet God brought that about. He allowed Jonah to have his way in the moment. That the Lord may have His way in overruling what Jonah did to save His people from their sins. The whole purpose of the book of Jonah, that chapter we just read, it wasn't about Jonah. It wasn't about Nineveh. It wasn't about those mariners. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. It's all about Christ. This whole book is all about Christ. I pray we see ourselves in Jonah as a sinner. I pray we see Christ in Jonah. I pray we see Christ to be our Savior. All right. Lord bless you.